difficult areas, one of the areas where parents blame that their children are the weakest, that they have difficulty training and educating and bringing their children up on the Derech HaYoshar, is the inyan of Tznius. It's not difficult, parents claim, to convince their children to keep the laws of Kashrus and to keep the laws of Shabbos. When it comes to inyanim of Tznius, it seems that perhaps just like their adult counterparts, it's sometimes difficult to get our children in line. Now, Tznius, or indiscretions in Tznius, is the primary reason why these days there are more girls that were in yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs that are now having problems than there are boys. There are many boys out there, but, and this piece of information is confirmed by my colleagues that work with dropout children, right now it seems that there are more girls than boys. Girls' schools have a additional task above and beyond teaching the children, the students, Torah and Yiras Shamayim. And although Tznius, of course, is part of Torah and Yiras Shamayim, it becomes a major issue in the girls' schools more than it does by the boys. Certainly, the yeshivas need to make sure that the Talmidim conduct themselves within the framework of that which a Ben Torah is expected to, that the way a Ben Torah is expected to behave. By girls, because it involves more direct behaviors, such as the dress, particularly the way they dress, becomes more of a primary issue in the girls' schools than it does in the boys. And therefore, it's one additional thing, one more thing, get into trouble for. And therefore, it's important that we analyze this phenomenon and try to understand what it is that's so difficult about getting our children to understand and behave properly in this particular area over other areas. Now, it's not merely that, well, the Yetzer Hara is stronger here than it is in other areas. It's not merely that. Besides that, the Yetzer Hara for indiscretions and Tznius is different. It's not the same quality, it's not the same type of Yetzer Hara as the other Yetzer Haras. And the chinuch that we give our children in Yiras Shamayim will very often neglect the type of chinuch that's necessary to teach them Yiras Shamayim where Tznius is concerned. The way we have to train our children to keep Tznius is different than the way we have to train our children in other areas. Medrash in Vayikra Rabba makes a statement that's well known. Amar Reb Yehuda ben Pozi, Ipnei ma nismacha parshas arayas leparshas kedoshim? Why is the parsha of arayas next to the parsha of kedoshim? Elo lelamdecha, the reason is to teach you. Shekol mokoim sha'ata moitze boi geder erva, ata moitze kedusha. Whenever you find people that are very careful in Tznius, very careful not to violate Arayas, there you find Kedusha, holiness. And the Medrash continues, Kol mishehu goyder atzmei min ha'erva nikra kodosh. Whoever is extra careful, stay away from Arayas, is called a kodosh. And Rashi, at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, brings down in his Perish on the Pasuk Kedoshim Tiyu, Havu Perushim Min Ha'arayus U'Min Ha'Aveira. Gemara in Psochim on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel also tells us that care in the Inyan of Tznius makes somebody a Kadosh. Abonon Kadishi Be'ara de Yisrael is the terminology used for somebody that's extra careful in Arayas. And the question is why? From all the mitzvahs in the Torah that you can perform, and from all the Averis in the Torah that you can do, why is it that just precisely, specifically, by the Avera of Arayas, do we call somebody that's careful not to violate it a Kadosh? Secondly, what does the Medrash mean when it uses this lengthy explanation? Every place you find people being careful in Arayas, there you find holiness. Why didn't the Medrash just say simply, care in Arayas is Kedusha? Just like Rashi said, wherever you find care in Arayas, there you find Kedusha. That's a seemingly long and superfluous way of saying something. Now, the truth is, as I said, that the Yetzirah for indiscretions and sneers is different than the Yetzirah for other Averis in the following very important way. Let's take the Yetzirah for money, for instance, materialism. Now, we know we have a rule, Eizeu Osher HaSameach B'Chelkoi. That rule has very little to do in and of itself with Yiras Shamayim. Somebody could be a philosopher, somebody could be simply a bardas, somebody could have seichel and realize that oyev kesef lo yizba kesef, it's a fact of nature. Somebody who has money wants more, and the more he has, the more he wants. And even if the person is devoid of Yiras Shamayim, even if the person is not all that frum, even if the person has no self-control, if he has seichel, he'll stay away from the materialistic tithes, because what does he need it for? It doesn't serve him well. It's merely a carrot dangling on a string. And philosophically speaking, intellectually speaking, it doesn't pay to run after it. Take, for instance, the Yetzirah of covet. It doesn't pay to run after that Yetzirah either. It's an illusion. Just like the Yetzirah for money. It's an illusion because just like somebody that has money wants more money, somebody that has covet wants more covet. And why, like the Musar Sfarim tell us, should you make your happiness dependent upon what somebody else thinks? Somebody who loves covet has his happiness dependent upon everybody else's reaction to him. He walks into our room, and the way other people react, the amount of people that'll stand up for him, the amount of people that'll clap when he speaks, or the amount of people that'll pay attention when he speaks, on those things depend his happiness. Isn't it smarter for your happiness to depend on the way you feel about you as opposed to the way other people feel about you? Why go pursuing after covet, after honor? It makes no sense. A person can say, I don't care about covet. A person can say, I don't care about riches. Even if this person is devoid of any semblance of an iota of Yiras Shamayim, he can still be the biggest parush, the biggest Sameach Bechelkoi that there is, because being a Sameach Bechelkoi has nothing to do intrinsically with Yiras Shamayim. It has to do with an understanding of the nature of the Yetzirah that exposes it as an illusion, and once it's exposed as an illusion, a person has the option to reject it. The Yetzirah for Arayas is not that way. Here a person can't say, I don't care about it. Here a person can't say, well, I'm a sameach b'chelkei, I'm happy with what I have. This that he can say with the amount of money that he possesses, he doesn't want anymore, or the amount of covet he possesses, he doesn't want anymore. He doesn't have that option, that intellectual choice, that philosophical enlightenment that keeps him away from the other taivas does not exist where Arayas is concerned. Arayas is like the Gemara in Shabbos says, Ki hu omar vayehi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so, and so it is. Isha mole tsoyo pio mole dum. The hakol rotzen achreha, the Gemara says in Shabbos. Daf kuf nun beis. Meaning that it's not logical, it's not intellectual, it has no reasoning behind it, it's just the way it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzirah, and it's inescapable. Because it doesn't have any intellectual grounding, no intellectual foundation, you cannot intellectually undo it. Because it's a gzeiras hakosav, you cannot philosophically reject it. That's just the way it is. In order to resist the Yetzirah for arayas, for indiscretions and sneas, there is one tool and one tool only that will help. Simple self-control, simple self-restraint, simple care, in Lashon HaKodesh, Yiras Shamayim, or in a more intense way, Kedusha. Every other Yetzirah, if you see somebody rejecting the Yetzirah, running away from the Taiva, it may be because of one or two reasons. It may be that this guy's a Yarei Shamayim. That could be. It could be that he's Irish from all his Taivas and he broke his Taivas. Maybe he rolled around in the snow until he was able to attain that level of self-control so that the pull for money and the pull for covet and the pull for everything else in the world, the pull for Bittul Torah, everything like that, just doesn't overpower him. He's in control of himself. That could be. Or it could be that the guy has seichel. And he knows that running after taivas are not going to satisfy him. He just has seichel. He has this intellectual rejection, this enlightenment, where he understands that the Yetzirah is nothing but an illusion. He may not have any Yiras Shamayim. He may have a lot. You don't know. Now, obviously, no matter what approach this person took to defend himself from the Yetzirah, he's successful. Which one is better is not for now, but they're both successful. But if you see somebody rejecting the Yetzirah for Arayas, if you see somebody making Geder Erva, if you see somebody being extra careful against indiscretions and sneers, you know for a fact that this person is a Yerei Shamayim, because there is no other way that a person can get away from that. When you find gedarim, extra care, elsewhere, regarding other things, you may or may not find kedusha there. You may find kedusha, you may find Yiras Shamayim, or you may find seichel. You may find an intellectual, philosophical rejection of the Yetzirah. But if you find somebody who's parush min ha'arayas, that person is a Kaddish, because there is no other tool, there is no other way for him to escape from that Yetzirah except by employing the Midah of Kedusha, by employing Yiras Shamayim. Self-restraint, self-control. He cannot reduce or reject the Yetzirah by being a Sameach Bechelkai. There is no such thing as a Sameach Bechelkai here, and that's what the Medrash means. This is why Kedoshim Tiyu is a command to be purished from arayas, min harayas u min ha'aveira. All aveiras, of course, could be rejected through kedusha, but specifically, it's telling you to be purished min harayas. Because for all other aveiras, kedusha isn't the only approach that you can take to defend yourself against the Yetzirah. By arayas, kedusha is the only approach to take. Which means that the chinuch methods that we teach our children, the way we bring them up to be Yorei Shemayim and B'nai Torah in other aspects of life, will not work when it comes to discretions and sneers. If we teach our children self-esteem, if we teach our children to be Sameach B'chelkoi, it's not going to help them. Our Rayus is concerned. Only one thing is going to help. Teaching them self-control. Teaching them to say no. Now this is something that is rarely done anymore. We don't teach our children to say no to the Yetzer Hara. You know what we teach our children? We teach our children to replace the Yetzer Hara with something kosher. Baruch Hashem, we have kosher fast food, and we have kosher shrimp, and we have kosher cheeseburgers, and we have kosher cruises, and we have kosher leisure, and kosher entertainment, kosher rides. Whatever you want, we have kosher. And, in a way, that's good. It's good because it's a crutch. It's a replacement for the Yetzer Hara. If somebody wants go, let's say, on a cruise, he has this overwhelming taiva for a cruise. Now, there's a kosher cruise. So, he's saved from doing the Avera. And the Chazal tell us that this is good. The Chazal tell us that for every trefa thing, for every Yetzahar, for every forbidden object, there is a parallel that is kosher. The only problem is that this formula was never intended to be used on a constant basis. This is a crutch. And a crutch is great if you can't walk. And if somebody is falling, if somebody is limping, and he needs to move, so a crutch is great. But if you use it constantly, then you forget how to walk. Then your leg muscles atrophy. And when you're confronted by a Yetzer Hara for which you cannot find the substitute, and so far nobody has found the substitute for Arayus. If you encounter a Yetzer Hara for which you don't have a kosher parallel, you're caught unarmed. You're caught unawares. You're caught by surprise. And you find yourself suddenly incapable of fighting the Yetzer Hara. If you notice, Klal Yisrael, forget about the children now, even adults, we are strong in certain ways and we are weak in other ways. It's very rare. Where do you find nowadays that somebody should give in to his Yetzer Hara for treifa food, bemaze it on purpose? Somebody should eat treifa food on purpose? No, where? It doesn't happen. But stealing, immoral business practices, and indiscretions and sneers, things like that, where we don't have a substitute. There we're weak. We're weak when we need self-control. We're strong when we don't need self-control. We're strong when we have substitutes. And that's not even strong. We are safe, is a better word. We're safe because we have these substitutes to protect us from the AIDS. We're not strong. We are safe. We are sheltered. Are sheltered from the Yetzer Hara in so many ways, and in a way that's good, because if you're sheltered you can't be a victim. But if you're sheltered too much, then when you find yourself out of that shelter, you don't know what to do. There's another example of this. The Gemara says that when a person's Yetzer Hara attacks him, his Yetzer Hara is ready to overwhelm him, so there are different things the Gemara in Brachas lists that a person should do, how to react to his Yetzer Hara in order to subdue it. The Gemara says that he should say Shema. The Gemara says that he should learn. He should say Shema. And if nothing works, the Gemara says he should be Mazkir Yom HaMoves. Remember that he's going to die, because that always works. What works? It's the most potent. It's the most powerful. And all the Mefarshim ask, if that's the most powerful, why dilly-dally around? Why don't use that first? Why do you have to wait for all your other approaches and all your other weapons to fail before you take out your ace in the hole? Why don't you just maskiyam hamavis at the beginning? All the mafarshim ask. But I'll tell you what I think is a davar pashut, is the simplest answer. Being maskiyam hamavis, remembering that you're going to die, works. Because it shocks you into realizing what life is and what it isn't. But the more you do it, the less of an effect it has. The more you think of death, the more you see death, the more immune you get to its effect. Were you ever in a hospital? And you ever went to visit somebody maybe? Did you ever wonder? Because I did. I was wondering how the doctors and the nurses can be so stoic and unemotional in the face of all of this death, decay, and sickness that they encounter daily. They seem sometimes so uncaring. Not that they are. But when somebody whose life was only a bowl of cherries goes into a hospital and sees what's going there, it's like getting hit by a sledgehammer. The truth is that the doctors and the nurses, they become immune. Because they encounter it every day, the effect is less. That's the way life is. You get used to things. And hard-hitting emotional impacts become weaker and weaker as time goes by. You build up an immunity. The doctors and the nurses, they are mazke yom hamavas every day. They remember the day of death constantly. And so it has less and less of an effect. Torah, Shema, these other approaches that the Gemara lists are different. They may not have that spectacular sledgehammer effect that being Maskei Yom HaMavis does, but you know what? That should be your first choice, because the more you learn Torah, the more of an effect it has. You don't become immune to Torah. You don't become immune to Tefillah. These are supernatural things. The more you learn them, the more of an effect they have on you. Remembering the day of death, the more you do it, the less of an effect it has. Torah, Shema, the more you do it, the more of an effect it has. So we use the Maskei Yom HaMavis as an emergency break. If all else fails, do it, but don't do it all the time. Try as hard as you can to do it as rarely as possible, because the less you do it, the more effective it'll be. The more you learn Torah, the more effective it'll be. So try on a constant basis to do the learning, to do the Shema, and if that all fails, as an emergency, as a once in a blue moon, last minute, bottom of the barrel, approach being Maskei Yom HaMavis. Just like being Maskei Yom HaMavis is not meant to be used constantly, neither were these crutches, these substitutes, meant to be used constantly. And we don't teach this to our children. If a child comes and says, "Mommy, I want this. I'm bored. I want to go out with my undesirable friends on Matzah Shabbos. I'm bored. I have nothing to do." So what's the answer? What's our response? We'll find you something kosher to do. Kosher substitute to your boredom. And I'm not saying not to do that. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. But somewhere down the line, you have to teach your child that they must learn to say no to the Yetzer Hara. Not everything they want they can have, and not every thing they desire they will obtain a substitute for. Not every taiva they have has to be fulfilled in a kosher way. Not every problem they have has to be solved. It's an easy way to keep the kid quiet. The kid is, you're passing a store and the kid wants the tray for hamburger, get him a kosher hamburger. It's much harder to tell the kid, no, say no to the hamburger, that's it. Your mouth is watering, it smells good, whatever the case, too bad. No, no is no. We don't do that. And sometimes there's really no choice, because when a fire is raging, you have to put it out. And if this is the only way to put it out, you do. But somewhere in our children's chinuch, it is imperative for us to teach them self-control. We try so hard, we work so much, and their self-esteem their self-image, their self-confidence, but not their self-control. We teach them that they can get what they want in a kosher way. We teach them Yiddishkeit isn't as restrictive as you think. Yiddishkeit isn't a pressurized prison straitjacket way of life. Look what you can have. Everything is kosher. There's a tremendous price to pay for that attitude. The price is indiscretions and sneers, a couple of other areas, financial, business morals. The price to pay is that those areas where you don't find the kosher substitute, the children are unprepared to fight the Yetzer Hara. Even for business practices, there's always the Ezer Osher HaSamech B'Chelkoi approach to combating the Yetzer Hara. There may not be a substitute that we've found. It could be out there, we haven't found it yet, substitute for money, but there is the Samech B'Chelkoi approach that could combat the Yetzer Hara. For Arayas, there isn't even that. This is why perhaps the Poskim point out that Chazal were so makbid and so machmir regarding the Yetzer Hara for Arayas more than anything else. There are more siyogim for Arayas than anything else in the Torah. The Tshuva Simlas Chaim from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Simin Tov Mem, writes that Chazal were machmir more in his taklus of Arayas more than all the Isurim of the Torah. Like the Gemara says, Achore Ari V'loy Achore Isha. We have, according to Chazal, to go as far, as fast, away from Arayas that we can. And the directive to run away from Arayas is more extreme than anything else we find regarding any other Isser. That's what Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says. The Rashbam, he brings in Masechta Bava Basra, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, when the Chazal say, Harchek Min Akiyur, Gemara says, the Rashbam says, in these type of things, that the Yetzahara, the Pitoy of the Yetzahara, the seduction of the Yetzahara, is very prevalent. And the reason is because Arayas is a different Yetzahara than anything else. We need all the help we can get. Because we can't just say, we don't care. We say we don't care about materialism, we don't care about COVID, but we can't say we don't care about this. The Sefer Chikrei Lev, he writes that even though Svardisha Jews accepted the rulings of the Shulchan Aruch, both in cases where he's machmir and in cases when he's mekel, and no Svardisha Rav can paskin against the Mechaber, even when the Mechaber matters is lenient and the majority of poskim are strict, nevertheless, by a davar shebe'ervo, when it comes to tznius, the Rav is permitted to be machmir against the Mechaber if he sees that the majority of poskim are machmir. And other isurim, he doesn't have that privilege to be machmir in that case. Only when it comes to Arayas, the Vilna Gaon, Imrei Noyam, on Masechta Brachos on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, when the Gemara there says, Oili mi Yitzri, means woe is to me because of my Yetzahara, and says Rashi, that overwhelms me, that attacks me with your room, with bad thoughts. Gross says that in Averis that involved actions, it wouldn't be appropriate to say, woe is me from my Yetzahara, because all you have to do is not do it. You have a choice to do the Averis, not to do it. But when it comes to your thoughts, it's practically impossible to control them. And so the Gemara says, woe is to me from my Yetzahara. Tchoik v'kalus roish margilin es ha'odom la'ervo. Why? Because tchoik and kalus roish are an exercise. It's an experience that's the opposite of self-control. It's frivolousness. It's when you're loose and laid back and just come what may, you could have the highest IQ and have the most seichel, but it's your self-control is just lax at that. That's what tzroik and kalus roish is. And that's why it caused people to violate erva and not other averis, because self-control is imperative. It's necessary and vital to a person controlling himself where tznius is concerned. And if a person gets used to letting his guard down, if he gets used to not controlling himself, if he gets used to schoik and kalus roish, then that flies in the face. It collides with that part of his personality that he needs in order to resist the Yetzer Hara for Arayas. But children have to be taught that there is such a thing as a desire that may not be fulfilled. Not in a kosher way and not in a treifa way. And a person simply has to fight the Yetzer Hara and say no. Again, we work on their self-esteem and their self-confidence and their self-image, but not on their self-control. Self-control is just as important as all of the above. But because of American society and contemporary secular educational theories, self-control has just fallen by the wayside. Our children no longer know how to say no. N-O. No. Imagine, just imagine, if one day there would be a kashrus scandal. And all the ice cream in the world would be non-kosher. What kind of panic that would be? What are we going to do? Everybody's going to ask. What are we going to do? A part of ice cream, maybe it'll be kosher. Maybe this way we can do it. How can we have ice cream? It's not my concoction of my imagination. There was a story with a certain out-of-town Jewish community where the ice cream was found not to be kosher, whatever, a certain type of ice cream, and they came to the Rosh Hashiva of the yeshiva in that town. And he said, Rebbe, what are we going to do? Aha, doi niecha nasa, what are we going to do? And he said, so you won't eat ice cream. He wasn't expecting that. Like I said, maybe, well, you'll have parva ice cream, maybe we'll import ice cream. So you won't have ice cream, so? So say no. We don't expect that. It's also the influence of the Kirov industry. You're trying to be makar of somebody and make them frum, and they say Yiddishkeit is so hard. Obviously the right thing to do is to try to demonstrate to them that Yiddishkeit is not nearly as difficult to keep as they may imagine. Look, and we have kosher this, and we have kosher that, and you can do this, and you can do that, and that's great. Like I said, for somebody that's a cripple, you give them a crutch. But for that to be our primary, and worse, our only way to combat the Yetzer Hara, we're in trouble. Children have to learn to say no. You know, in certain communities where there's an Erev around town, Yerushalayim included, kids grow up not even knowing sometimes that there's a prohibition to carry on Shabbos until they're told that there's some theoretical prohibition to carry on Shabbos. In a community where I was once Rav, an Erev was made, and Rav Moshe Feinstein was the advisor who advised the people that made the Erev. And Rav Moshe said that every once in a while we should passel the Erev, even if it's not passel. Every once in a while, just parcel it, so that people should know that you don't carry on Shabbos outside of an Erev. Let them not be so habituated and so used to carrying, so used to the Erev, that they just lose the feeling, just lose the concept of not carrying on Shabbos. An Erev is a crutch, and it's good. It's good to have an Erev, but it's also good to make sure that you don't lose the ability to survive on Shabbos without being able to push a baby carriage or to carry your talis to shul. All of the erevin that we make in our lives to permit various different levels of comfort within a kosher framework. These are all good, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't have a nisyonis. Rather, we can fulfill our taivas in a kosher way. But we're also mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to give us those nisyonis because we may not be able to overcome them. And the more we let our self-control muscles atrophy, the more if we let them die, then we're not going to be able to say no when the time comes. We have to teach our children self-control. We have to teach them to say no. We have to teach them that life isn't always going to come out the way they want it to come out, and there is not always a solution to their problem. There's not always a solution to their desire. There's not always a fulfillment of their taiva. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to improve our indiscretions and sneas that exist, our weakness that we have. For Yitzra Da'arayas is there not merely because the Eitzahara is so strong, but also because we are unschooled in the methods of dealing with that Yetzirah, and unarmed when it comes to the battle of that special Yetzirah that needs, that only Kedusha can overcome. And now at this point, we're going to take questions. Okay, as far as the pendulum swinging the other direction in the secular world for them, say no to drugs, teaching abstinence, there's a difference between preaching abstinence and teaching abstinence. They're preaching, say no to this, say no to that. Those are mindless slogans because they have no other solution. They have no other solution except the slogan, the swing, the beat. It's meaningless, it's mindless, it's a motto, it's a slogan. That's not teaching self-control. It's singing about self-control. That's what it is. It's singing about self-control, and it's giving a message, and it's not working. It's not working. That's right. The way to teach self-control is by example and by experience. A kid, a child that sees self-control obviously learns what it is, but he also has to experience it himself. If you see somebody walking and you use a wheelchair all your life, it involves not only the knowledge about how to control yourself, but there's a certain power, a certain psychological muscle that needs to be employed where self-control is concerned. A person can say no to drugs and no, 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 and then while he's saying no, he could be taking the pill. No, 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 you know? And Rishoyim Maleim Charotis. Rishoyim, evildoers are full of regret. You know, it says they always regret what they do, but they'll never stop doing it. That's why they're Rishoyim. They'll always, they'll say no, no, no. But, no. Amar Ma'atva Seharbe. They'll say no, and they'll do it. They'll do it. They won't say yes, but they'll do yes. The way the secular society is teaching self-control is a desperate means to try to squelch the out-of-control society, the out-of-control culture that they've bred through decades of lack of Torah knowledge. That's what it is. And now they have nothing left except slogans. That's all it is. And it doesn't work. They can sing it, they can march to it, but it doesn't work because it's not Torah, it's not Kedusha. That's not what it is.